The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, April 20th, and this is the wide receiver tight end rankings show. If you're watching it on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, you can probably see us a little bit earlier because we record the show the day before. It's posted on YouTube. You can watch it there. Subscribe either way. We're going to break down wide receivers and tight ends with Ryan Wilson. Make sure and check out Ryan's big board and mock draft Monday 10.0 from yesterday's show. Sort of looks at the divergence between Ryan's big board and his mock draft. And coming up, we'll be doing position by position rankings for every spot in the draft. We'll have a chat with Chris Trapasso about defensive linemen and offensive linemen. But first, we got to dive in and do a breakdown of the wide receiver tight end rankings. Wilson, what's going on, buddy?
I don't want to be the guy that complains, but I survived doing my 7-round mock draft.
I have no interest in a 7-round mock draft, writing nor reading one.
You know what's funny? I was talking to Scott this weekend, and I said, yeah, I just finished this thing up. And he said, why are you doing that? And like he says, after like pick 100, how do you even know what to do? I was like, yeah. You just go to team needs and fill those out. But inevitably what happens is that you end up, every team's going to have two or three positions, the same, you know, players playing the same position because, you know, you have 7 or 8, sometimes 10 draft picks. You can't fill every single need. No. So
that's not what the draft should be for anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Because people, someone, you know, I actually, surprisingly, when I tweeted out the link this morning on, as we're talking about this on the 19th, the responses were relatively not terrible. So I was like, yeah, all right. Maybe people just got bored and couldn't read all the way down to 259, which I understand. But there were a few people that said, well, you didn't address this need or you have them taking 2 wide receivers. So look, man, they got 10 picks. They need to double up on some things. But yeah, anyway, I survived. And
congratulations.
Can't wait to do it again next year.
Did you know who we're missing today?
Breach.
We are missing Breach. He's not here with us, but that means that he's probably off either pushing his baby around a park or more likely grinding on the Pick Six newsletter, which I strongly encourage all of our listeners to read daily or at the very least go subscribe and then open and not read and then delete whatever you want to do it. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Breach has a ton of good content in there. It's pretty much an extension of the podcast plus with an extra like boost of Breach's weird brain as he outlines the need to know everything around the league Monday through Friday. Except Wednesdays when he walks Annabelle and his cats in the park all day and Cody Benjamin takes over our pal Cody, and he does Wednesdays. But either way, you're never missing out on NFL news and information in your inbox. Subscribe to the Pick Six newsletter by visiting cbssports.com/newsletter. Wilson, we were doing this on 420. Why don't you know about 420, right?
Smoke them if you got them.
No, no, I was going to say it's Doge Day. Did you know that it's Dog Coin Day?
What is Dog Coin Day?
People on the internet are hoping to push Dog Coin to 69 cents per coin on 420. So that's.
I don't get it. Why on 420?
It's a, I don't know.
Dog Coin's an NFT?
No, Dog Coin's cryptocurrency. Ay, ay, ay.
But it's not like Bitcoin and all these other ones are based on like some actual underlying principle. Dogecoins are I kept calling it Dogecoin all weekend and my brother got me. He's like, it's Dogecoin. I'm like, who cares, Charlie? But the Dogecoin is.
Charlie, I hate to agree with Brinson, but really, who does care?
Yeah, he's like, it's Dogecoin. Please stop calling it Dogecoin. I'm like, shut up, man. It's a Dogecoin. Anyway, it's just a meme. So yeah. Let's see how high it can go. I hope I'll sell my dogs at 70 cents for sure. Anywho, wide receiver. Oh, before we get to wide receiver rankings, Alex Smith retired from the NFL on Monday. The former number one overall pick announcing that he was walking away from football after a 2020 season that saw him win comeback player of the year. Nothing but kind words from everybody around the NFL about Alex Smith. I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody utter a mean phrase about him. You heard Andy Reid come out and say nice things. Patrick Mahomes, of course, Ron Rivera, the Washington football team, had a great statement that he put out. Alex Smith had said, Ryan, that he had heard from a couple of teams. I think Jacksonville and Houston were mentioned as possibilities, but ultimately decided just to walk away.
Right. It's one thing if the Chiefs call you. If Houston's calling you, yeah, I think I'm going to retire.
And the Houston thing was primarily like, hey, listen, we're interested, but we got to figure out what's the deal with the show.
They have like eight other backup quarterbacks, including Ryan Finley in that roster, right?
Ryan Finley, Tyrod Taylor, right. So I think it was sort of like, and I feel like gearing up and doing OTAs with the Texans, and then I get cut. And with Jacksonville, they're taking Trevor Lawrence first overall, and as such, will not be using Alex Smith. So he'd basically be going there to be a mentor, and I just don't think he was interested in doing that. What if you were thinking of your lasting impressions of Alex Smith? Because a really interesting career, right? He missed two full seasons. 2008 and 2019, 2008 because of a shoulder injury, and then 2019 because of the infection in the leg that he suffered while playing for Washington in 2018. He was a bust, and then he lived up to the hype, and then he was a great game manager for Kansas City. It's just a fascinating career in terms of all these different.
I would push back that he's maybe not even a bust. So I was actually thinking about this earlier.
Sorry, no, I didn't. He's not a bust.
No. What? During San Francisco, I didn't even think in San Francisco his time there.
He was a bust. He was a bust.
It was a terrible team. And here's my question: truly terrible team. Because the conversation in 2005 was, is it going to be Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers? What if Alex Smith goes to the Packers? He probably doesn't have Aaron Rodgers' career, but you would imagine that he's probably more consistent and consistently better over the course of the 2005 to 2020 than having started with the 49ers, where he struggled in part until Jim Harbaugh showed up.
Yeah. I always found one of the fascinating things about Alex Smith's career with Jim Harbaugh. So Alex Smith is, for whatever reason, don't ask me why I know this. Oh, I know why I know this, because I used to write for NBC Bay Area, just like you used to write for NBC Connecticut.
And New York before that. I was a big time, baby.
And Alex.
Shout out John Ness.
That's right. Shout out John Ness. Alex Smith was for whatever reason is a Padres fan, and he would wear a Padres hat all the time because that was his team, and people in San Francisco hated it because, you know, they're all Giants fans and they didn't want him being a Padres fan. They don't want the 49ers quarterback to be a Padres fan. I guess I get it on some weird level, even though he was not from San Francisco. Jim Harbaugh shows up and makes him start wearing Giants hats. It's like, trust me, dude. You wear it, people will like you better. It'll make you feel better. You won't feel like they're pushing back.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh made him do that, and he told him that while not wearing a shirt?
Maybe, or just chugging milk as it runs down his chest.
Shirt and khakis. Hey, come here.
Yeah. I just think that the makeover that Jim Harbaugh did, I mean, absolutely changed everything about Alex Smith's career. I mean, you know, this is a guy that then became, 17 touchdowns, 5 picks in 2011. And ended up missing time. He suffered a concussion in 2012, right? He was kind of taking over, and it looked like Harbaugh. You know, he used to be Harbaugh's guy, and he was going to produce, I think it was 2012. Yeah. With the concussion. And as a result, Colin Kaepernick took over and took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And then Alex Smith moved on to Kansas City after Andy Reid acquired him. And at that point, he made 3 Pro Bowls before being traded to the Washington football team.
Yeah, so he was replaced by Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, then replaced by Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and then went to Washington. Here's a sort of a fun fact. He had a winning record all three of his stops. Not surprising in Kansas City and even in Washington. But in San Francisco, by the time it was all said and done after 7 years, 38, 36 and one. It was that one tie. That feels like something that would happen against the Bengals. I'd have to double check if that's who they tied. Let me see.
I'll tell you, it was the 2012 season with San Francisco when he had the tie. And I think it was the Bengals actually.
No, it was the Rams.
There you go. 24
so I was
all.
Say the Bengals, unfortunately, wasn't the Bengals, but the Rams kept him from getting to 100 wins. He finished 99, 67 and one.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think you split his career up into different segments. You know, I think it's really, there was from 2005 when he was drafted, and you make a good point. You know, like Aaron Rodgers got to sit. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have been good in San Francisco the first 3 years, or he would have looked like Alex Smith that suffered an injury. And then he would have finally maybe started to get his game back going. You know, 2005 to 2010, it just, you know, disappointing seasons for a guy picked as highly as he was. And then Harbaugh comes in 2011 and 2012, you know, really a resurgence. And then Andy Reid brings him under his wing and they did some damage in Kansas City for several years. And it just so happened that they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And what are you going to do? In fact, give him credit for holding off Patrick Mahomes for a full season. Knowing what we know now, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah. I don't fault him for how things started in San Francisco. Dennis Erickson was the coach. They won two games the year before. Erickson got fired and Mike Nolan was his coach the first year in 2005. And that team won four games. Nolan was there for, 3.5 seasons. They never had a winning record. Then Mike Singletary took over and that was a train wreck. That didn't really work out. It wasn't until Harbaugh arrived in 2011 that things immediately turned a corner. Like immediately. From
immediately.
2003 to 2009, they never had a winning season. And then 2010, excuse me. And then in 2011, Harbaugh shows up and they win 11, 12 games. They win 8-8 the next year. And then Harbaugh said, I'm out.
Yeah. And Alex Smith also had a legendary 28-yard touchdown run in the divisional round of that 2011 season against the Saints to knock them out of the playoffs before falling just shy in the NFC Championship game against the Giants, who would go on to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it was a lot of close calls for Alex Smith and the 49ers and the Chiefs. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, God. I was going to joke. Is he in Hall of Famer over Julian Edelman, or what do you think? Why would you even say that? He won 99 football games. And I know QB wins isn't a thing, but I mean, great career. I would argue the toughest player in NFL history, given what he overcame.
Julian Edelman would like a word.
How's Julian Edelman tougher than him?
I'm just kidding. I think Alex Smith is like pretty high up there on the quarterback win list.
Yeah, but if that's not a measure in which one uses to determine Hall of Fame candidacy, then.
Of course not.
But I mean, come on.
He is 18th all time in quarterback wins.
He's 2-5, I think, in the playoffs, something like that. I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm just here are the guys who have more wins than he does. You brought up the wins first and second. So Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Big Ben, John Elway, Dan Marino, Philip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Fran Tarkenton, Johnny Unitas, Eli Manning, Joe Montana, Matt Ryan, Terry Bradshaw, Warren Moon, and Jim Kelly. The only guys not in the Hall of Fame are the ones who are currently active and the ones who just retired.
Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
I think he will be.
Should have won that Super Bowl.
Sure. If he'd won the Super Bowl, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I don't think Alex Smith is getting in.
No.
Hall of Very Good with Drew Bledsoe and Joe Flacco.
He is the only person in the Hall of Super Tough. I'll give him that.
All right. So
great story. I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad.
Incredible 16-year career for Alex Smith.
And he leaves the game away being able to walk, play with his kids.
Daughter
down the aisle eventually.
I'm quite pleased that we don't have to worry about seeing him suffer another major injury. That felt dicey at times. During the season.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about the wide receiver rankings in the 2021 NFL draft. We have your top 10 wide receivers, then we'll dive into the top 5 tight ends. Do you feel like your rankings are generally are they in line with the consensus? Do you have some outliers? How does this work out? Amari Rodgers, 10. Tylan Wallace, 9. Terrence Marshall, 8.
Terrace Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
So that's fine. There aren't very many people named Terrace. So, yeah, so I think the wide receiver class is one where things are sort of interesting in that people have a lot of different opinions, starting with number two. I think most people think Ja'Marr Chase is number one. But after that, it gets interesting. So at the bottom, I like Amari Rodgers a lot as a slot receiver. He actually worked out. I think he did some running back drills at his pro day. I think I asked you this before, but I asked you again, see if you remember. You know who Amari Rodgers' dad is? Famous Tennessee alum. Not Peyton Manning. But he's the only quarterback.
Is it T. Martin?
That's right.
Okay. I was like trying to think of somebody named Rodgers.
Yeah. He did what Peyton Manning never could at Tennessee. He won it all, baby.
That's right. The year after Peyton Manning left.
After he left or before? After he left. You're right. That's right.
Yeah. So it was immediately following Peyton Manning's departure from Tennessee.
Because he was in the
draft. I was living in Tennessee at the time.
Oh, God. That's how old you are. He was in the same draft class as Tom Brady, I do believe. But anyway, I like Amari Rodgers as a slot receiver, as sort of a gadget guy you can get the ball to near the line of scrimmage. You can do damage because he runs like a running back, which explains why he got some running back carries. Tylan Wallace is a fun guy. Tore his ACL in 2019, but incredibly tough at the catch point. He's undersized. I think he had some pretty good pro day numbers in terms of what he ran. Doesn't create a lot of separation when you watch him play, but I like his toughness. And he's a guy I'd like to see on the Steelers. That's sort of my gauge of where I rank these guys. Terrace Marshall, you mentioned at 8. I think he's probably, for me, he's a second round guy. Maybe he sneaks to the first because he's big catch radius, can run, ran in the 4.3s his pro day. But the issue for me, and I've said this before in the podcast, is that he was at his best when he was the third fiddle, if you will, after Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. So is he a first round talent, like a legit number one? I don't know. Elijah Moore at number 7 is a slot guy. Also ran really fast this pro day, but he plays fast too. And he played in Ole Miss in that offense. And I think I had him going in my 7-round mock draft, which came out Monday, in the second round to the Patriots as a sort of Julian Edelman next man up situation. I don't know if he'll be the Hall of Famer that Julian Edelman is, but he's a really fun player to watch.
So at 4, 5, and 6, you have Kadarius Toney, Rondell Moore, and Rashad Bateman. Those are your 4, 5, and 6 rankings. Out of those three, how many end up going in the first round?
1.5 is the over-under.
Yes, that is correct. 4.5. Well, it's really more like 2 because the juice is obscene right now. It's like, I think it's -200 or thereabouts.
I will Kadarius Toney, I would take him in the first round. Rashad Bateman, I've talked myself into taking him into the first round. I've said it before, but I'll repeat it. His 2019 tape is awesome. His 2020 season was up and down. In part, I think it had to do with him having COVID over the summer. He said it affected him. I think he lost some weight and didn't play quite up to the standards that we saw in 2019. So I think he's going to bounce back. Rondell Moore, my only concern is that he's 5'7". So, you know, what's
5'7" is short.
Cheetah. What's Cheetah's name? Can't remember.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill is 5'9". So he feels like the floor of guys you're going to, and Tyreek Hill is unbelievably special. Rondell Moore has a chance to be special, but he only played 7 games the last 2 years. So there's some durability concerns, but he does a lot of things that are like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened by a human being in a football game. So I'll say, I'll take the under on 2. I think 1 gets drafted out of those 3, but I like all those guys for different reasons.
So you think that the under is the bet then?
It's hard to say. So the Packers need a wide receiver. The Packers, for some idiotic reason, refuse to take wide receivers in the first round. So they're there at the bottom of the first round. Take a wide receiver. The Saints could sort of target a wide receiver, but they have defensive needs there. The Ravens at 27 could take a wide receiver. But JLC wrote on Monday that they could be in the business of trading down. So maybe they're not even going to be there. The Jaguars at 25 could take a wide receiver if they want to help out Trevor Lawrence. So there are teams that are going to be there. The Jets pick a few picks before that. Maybe they do. There are teams that are going to need wide receivers, but I don't know if they go in other directions with the offensive line class, with the edge rush guys who will probably go off the board there. Maybe some cornerbacks are there that they like. So I'm going, yes, I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going under.
Okay. I'm going to try and bring up a page. Well, I don't know why this is acting up and not letting me go to it. Have you seen, do you mess around with mockdraftable.com at all?
Yeah, it's been tough for them this year to update the player comps, because I think they've been slow in getting the data, but they do send out tweets periodically saying, oh, we have this position group in there. Yeah, I love that place.
So some of the comps for, I can't get it to load on my desktop for some reason. I was going to show the page just because Rondell Moore's, I've never seen anything like Rondell Moore's spider web chart.
Have you seen it?
Look at it. It's like a half moon.
It is. I mean, like, he hits every single, he's in the 79th percentile on 20 yard shuttle, 89th three cone drill, 82nd broad jump, 98th vertical jump, 96th 40 yard dash, 96th 20 yard split. His 10 yard split is actually 43. And then just nothing in terms of height, weight, length, arm size. Look at Debo. Debo's so good at this. Thanks, Debo. Debo and I are a good combo because I know how to filibuster so Debo can get something going.
So look, so
yeah, I mean, he's
5'7" and he has 28 inch arms. The 5'7" height is one percentile among all wide receivers.
Sure.
28 inch arms is 0%. So that's the issue. His catch radius is basically his face.
It's not great.
But he's so dynamic. So I don't know what you do. Like, I don't know if you take a flyer on round one and.
It doesn't feel in some of the comps there. Scroll down a little bit, Debo. You see Isaiah McKenzie, Mecole Hardman, Greg Dortch, Philip Dorsett and Braxton Berrios. Love Greg Dortch. Those guys haven't panned out, obviously, the way that you would hope.
And by the way, that's Arizona Mike Thomas,
not Saints Mike Thomas. That's right. But I don't know, man. I feel like going with a smaller wide receiver, while risky, I feel like if Rondale Moore is, you know, and it's dumb. It's like if he's 3 inches taller, he's going in the first round. It's not a question.
Oh my God. Yeah. But if you scroll up at the very top there, Debo, Andy Isabella is the best comp and he was a second round pick and he has not exactly blown the doors off.
Your guy, Andy Isabella.
He ran in the 4.3s. He was a sprinter. He actually was faster than Denzel Ward coming out of high school when they ran the 100. But Elijah Moore is right below him. We just talked about him. And then Jalen Darden, is fourth. And he's a similar type, body type. And has a chance. He'll probably go on day three, but he scored something like 19 touchdowns from North Texas this year. Mm.
Yeah, it stinks. Like Jalen Waddle, you're not going to get any comps on in terms of, you know, speed and all that. So,
well,
it's just tough. Yeah, I just looked. He doesn't have anything, just the wingspan and all that.
I see. Yeah, because I feel like Henry Ruggs is probably. Oh, they have some comps.
Yeah, they have comps, but you can only base the comps on.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Height, weight, hand size. You can't. You know, you need all the things to go into to make the comps work. One of the things I think has been interesting is the Kadarius Toney stuff. He felt like a first rounder, a lock early on, and has sort of drifted into that late second or late first, early second. I mean, Peter Schrager was saying a week ago. We talked about this last on the mock draft show, but that he thinks Kadarius Toney can be top 15. I think this is how the over under is going to work. It's going to go one of two ways and it sort of hinges on the 4, 5, 6, the picks up there. Because if the Falcons take Kyle Pitts and then the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase, I think the Dolphins might take Jalen Waddle. We'll talk about those guys in a minute. Maybe Devontae Smith. We'll see.
Happened in my 7-round mock draft. And as I said in Twitter, I got all 259 picks correct. So that makes sense to me.
Well, if those three guys go 4, 5, 6, or even Devontae Smith goes 6, if three of the four top pass catchers in this draft go 4, 5, 6, I really think there's a good chance that we see 2 to 3 more wide receivers at least go in the first round.
Ooh, 5. I would imagine. I haven't seen, you know, this is what I like to do. I haven't seen William Hill, but 4.5, I would guess, is what the over under is for first
round. -210 is the over.
It is?
Juiced up to the over, yes.
Ooh, saucy.
So you had Devontae Smith going 12, and it also depends on these, you know, these needs. Are these guys going to take these edge rushers down here or running back?
I had 5 guys going in my first round. So Tony,
you have Kadarius Toney going 27 and Bateman 29. Clown, get out of here.
I know. Just threw away $210.
And that's not even hard. It's not hard to get to 5 either.
But I mean, this assumes that the Packers will do something different and take a wide receiver. This assumes the Ravens don't trade down, but it also assumes the teams that are trading up don't want these guys as well. So you just don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet the over because it's $210, but I would be.
Oh, I didn't lose 210. I bet the under.
You lost $100. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to bet the under though. Yeah, I don't know if I'm betting the over at 5.5 either, though.
I would stay away.
Yeah, I think if you got it at 150 to 175, you count your stars, and if it's -200, you just got to bail on it. So,
no, I think
But what's separate? Obviously, Tony's a more physical wide receiver and more sort of a, I mean, Bateman's a, no, Moore is the speed demon and the tiny fella.
Yeah, Moore's sort of a slot guy, undersized. Kadarius Toney's 5'11", I think, but he plays like a running back with ball in his hands. He has had some focus drops, and that's one of the concerns with him. Maybe that sees him drop into the early second round. But Schrager has talked to people that said, whatever, top 15. And, you know, the Mitch Trubisky example, it only takes one person. So, you know, that's, yeah, of course it could happen. Bateman, looked undersized last year. He played bigger and stronger and faster, I thought, in 2019. So he played outside primarily. He can play inside, but yeah, I think five is going to be close. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
Well, again, if Miami goes Waddle or Smith and then the Giants go Smith or Waddle, whoever's left over, suddenly Debo, the Eagles could be left taking Kadarius Toney. How would you feel about that at 12?
Not thrilled. Not
they
thrilled.
Just took Jalen Reagor and that didn't work out.
That's just a repeat of last year.
Right. Yeah.
It does feel like that's
not Eagles in the sense that, you know, you're passing up on someone better, but in, yeah, just I mean, in terms of an extreme reach and getting too cute. Howie Roseman known for getting too cute with some of these picks. Let's just go by that. I joked about that when they traded back from 12. I was like, all right, I'd be happy with pretty much any possibility besides, you know, reaching for one of these receivers. I'd be happy with Rashawn Slater at 12. I'd be happy with J.C. Horn. Not happy with the fourth receiver or beyond.
So, Brenton, I gave old Eric DeBerardinas a shout-out on HQ on Monday.
Ooh, go on. How so?
I was talking to Amanda Kerr about the Eagles picks in my 7-round mock draft, and she described the Eagles as a mess. And I said, our very own Eric DeBerardinas, the Pick Six podcast producer, will not even read the scathing article from The Athletic because he wants to remain in his happy place. That's how messed up that organization is. And then I went on.
That is how messed up it is. All right. So the top three. Is there a huge gulf? You know, before, is there a gulf between Ryan Wilson's top three and the rest of the receivers? We'll tell you after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So the big three, I mean, for me, there's a gulf. Maybe I need to do more Kadarius Toney work or Rondell Moore work. But, man, these top three guys, and you can see it, it's pretty clearly displayed by the odds.
There's Jamar, a gulf.
Jamar Chase -600 to be the first wide receiver taken, according to William Hill. Devontae Smith 6-1. Jalen Waddle 7-1. And then next up is Rashad Bateman at 40-1. I would be stunned if any of the big three were taken first. I would be shocked, but I wouldn't be stunned if Jalen Waddle went ahead of Jamar Chase. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's reasonable. Last year, Henry Ruggs went ahead of Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb and, you know, some people were surprised, and I think Pete Briscoe actually said he had heard that Henry Ruggs might go first. Turns out Justin Jefferson should have been the first pick, but that's why it's crapshoot. Like, do you think that anyone on planet Earth is putting any money down on Seth Williams because he's 20,000 to one?
No. 200 to one. It's not even good odds.
I'm sorry, plus 20,000, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dyami Brown is 150 to one. There's no chance he's going to be the first wide receiver taken.
None. I feel like even at a dollar, I don't even know if you can bet a dollar. That's wasting a dollar. Like, you would be better served taking that dollar, crumpling it up, and throw it in someone's face that you don't like. You would get more satisfaction out of that.
I think the only bettable item on here
Well, I'll throw a caveat in that. The only bettable item on this particular prop is Jalen Waddle, 7-1 first wide receiver. If you love Devontae Smith, maybe he could be the first one. I just have a hard time. Let's say that the Bengals are the first team eligible to take a wide receiver. Are they taking Jalen Waddle over Joe Burrow's boy, Ja'Marr Chase? That would be insane. It would be a slap in the face. Even if they take Penei Sewell, then do you think the Dolphins, maybe the Dolphins at six could take Waddle over Ja'Marr Chase? That's not out of this world crazy.
Assuming that Kyle Pitts has gone to the Falcons, I think you take Waddle or Chase, and depending on what you're looking for. But
maybe you want to make sure Tua plays with a guy who's outwardly expressed that Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua.
I was going to say, Ja'Marr Chase did wonders for Joe Burrow. Perhaps he could do the same for Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Ja'Marr Chase is my number one. Jalen Waddle went first. It wouldn't surprise me. I have Devontae Smith as my number two on my big board because he's awesome. If he weighed 185 pounds, we'd be talking about him as possibly the first wide receiver off the board. But because he weighs 170 and he's 6'1", there are durability concerns, even though he was quite durable at college. In fact, the only issue he had was the broken finger he had, which had nothing to do with him being slight of frame. But Jalen Waddle to me is better than Henry Ruggs coming out, and he's a four-down player, can return kicks. Is super exciting, yada, yada, yada. And as I mentioned, I had him going to the Dolphins at six because Ja'Marr Chase went five to the Bengals in my latest mock draft.
Seven-round mock draft. Yeah, you have Devontae Smith then falling to – oh, you have Jalen Waddle going six. Man, I watched Jalen Waddle. I know you have him. So did you think about flipping these on the big board, Jalen Waddle above Devontae Smith?
Yeah, it's close, but I wanted to give Devontae Smith the respect he's due. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He – dominated. Jalen Waddle was hurt for most of the 2020 season with the ankle injury. Devontae Smith took over games and sure. He did, you know, yes, the offensive line's great. Yes, they have Mechie, who's going to be a first round pick probably at some point. Yes, Nick Saban's coaching him, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. But the dude was balling out. So, I feel like he's the second best wide receiver in this draft class. And like I said, if he's 185, he might be number one.
Okay. I would take Waddle over Devontae Smith, I think. It's pretty close.
And that's what was reflected in my actual draft because I would imagine NFL teams feel the same as you do.
I think you get all the things that you get with Devontae Smith except with a bigger player. Waddle is fast as hell. Waddle's faster than Smith.
Yeah, he is. He's probably almost as fast as Henry Ruggs, but Devontae's taller than
Waddle. Is Devontae taller than Waddle?
Waddle's small. Waddle's maybe 5'10".
Okay, he plays bigger.
I think he plays bigger as well, but he is.
Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase both play bigger.
Ja'Marr Chase is legitimate, but he's Anquan Boldin, but he can run a 4.38.
Why? I mean, I thought he was shorter.
He was probably standing next to Justin Jefferson, who's taller. Yeah.
How tall is Ja'Marr Chase? Is 6 feet tall.
He's 6 feet even. Yep.
Okay. Right. All right. I guess that's not big though.
No, but he's thick. Like Anquan thick is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But fast.
Anyway, my point being is that Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle are my top two guys. Disagree slightly.
Just slightly. You're right though. From three to four, there's a gap. It's like going from the top five quarterbacks to the sixth quarterback. There's a gap there.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is even though when I watch Jalen Waddle play and I watch Ja'Marr Chase play, and I'm not saying they're the same size. I just feel like they look like they look like NFL sized players to me. And Devontae Smith looks a little bit smaller.
Yeah, he's tall and sort of drawn out. I agree. I don't disagree with that. I was surprised to find out Jalen Waddle was 5'10". He does play bigger than that in my mind. But to your point, the speed is bonkers crazy. I mean, he was still a blur when he was playing in the championship game on a bad wheel.
Yeah. His speed is insane. All right, so yeah, I guess Jalen Waddle's 5'10" and Devontae Smith is 6 feet. I don't see that. How do I not see that? I think they're like flipped in my mind. That's crazy. I don't know. Talk to me about Ja'Marr Chase. And
he's awesome. Like he is absolutely awesome. It was funny. I was talking to someone earlier today about Ja'Marr Chase. I was like, yeah, I didn't know if he was going to run that fast. I was surprised. And he's like, yeah, he was a 4.4 guy all day long. That didn't surprise me at all. And he was actually 4.38. And the funny thing is he was the slowest of the receivers at their pro day. So it was Ja'Marr Chase, Terrace Marshall, who we've talked about, and Racy McMath, who was like the number four receiver in that offense in 2019, who's a special teams star. So he's going to get drafted primarily for that. And then the upside that it comes with being a tall, big catch radius wide receiver. But Ja'Marr Chase was the best player on that team in 2019 after Joe Burrow, and that also included Justin Jefferson, who, of course, had 1,400 receiving yards as a rookie for Minnesota, and who, as Debo will tell you, the Eagles passed on.
Tough. That's mean, man. What's the lowest? All right, what's the floor for Ja'Marr Chase in this draft?
Well, quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3. I mean, the Falcons, it would be crazy if they took Ja'Marr Chase, I think, only because of Julio and Calvin.
I don't think it's because of Julio Calvin so much as Kyle Pitts.
Like, that's what I mean. Yeah. You take that pass catcher as opposed to the other. Yeah, that's right. So the Bengals could take Penei Sewell, but I think we all agree that they feels like they're not going to.
So we think the ceiling for Ja'Marr Chase is 5.
No.
I guess the ceiling can be 4.
Oh, yeah. No, 5. Yeah. Yeah. Unless someone trades up to 4, because I think we agree the Falcons aren't going to do it. Right. Sure. So ceiling is 5. But if the Dolphins, let's say the Bengals take Penei, let's say the Dolphins take Jalen, the Lions take a quarterback, Justin Fields. The Panthers.
I think the Panthers would take Ja'Marr Chase.
They have to take Ja'Marr Chase at 8.
Yeah.
I think that's the floor. Unless, you know, assuming no one trades, that has to be the floor. Like, you can't pass on Ja'Marr Chase.
His over under, by the way, is, it's moved. It was 6.5. I see on a local and juiced like -182 to the under.
Yeah.
With the expectation that he's either going 5 or 6. And now at William Hill, it is over under 5.5, -115 on both sides. I would not, you're basically coin flipping on Penei Sewell. See, when you get the 6, I think I got it earlier, 6.5 at -133. That's what I prefer. Cause then you get three shots, the trade up, the Bengals and the Dolphins. I don't know that I would, if I'm betting on that over under 5.5 for Ja'Marr Chase, one, I'm taking the under if I take it.
Yep.
And two, I'm waiting till like as long as possible to take that under because I'm hoping to hear some buzz come out as we get closer to the draft.
That's a risk because the line can move.
Sure. But I mean, I don't think they're not going to drop it to 4.5. It's just going to be 5.5 and the juice might move.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Yeah. I think I like the under too. I think the Bengals, that's who they're eyeballing.
I will tell you this too, that Jalen Waddle's over under. Do you know what his over-under is?
7.5.
11.5. People, go bet this under. This under now. You get 5 shots here.
It's going to be close. Like, I could see the man. We know that the Giants aren't going to do it. It would make sense for the Giants to do it, but Dave Gettleman.
Giants could do it. By the way, this number is on the move. It was +100. And now it's -135. I just think when you look at, so again, quarterbacks going top 3. We think it's either a trade up for a quarterback or Kyle Pitts at 4. If it's a trade up, that changes things because then the Bengals could go Kyle Pitts. Let's say they still go Ja'Marr Chase. Let's say it's Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase. Even if the Dolphins went, so the Dolphins go to Devontae Smith or Penei Sewell, I can see Waddle landing at 7, 8, or 11. That's a lot of looks for it.
You're putting a lot of faith in Dave Gettleman. 7 and 8, I get. 11, I don't even know Dave Gettleman's draft history. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, is that his guy? Or is that someone else?
Yep.
You think he's not scared off by that?
He's never taken the same position in a back-to-back first round.
But he even took a heavy set.
Unless you count drafting Christian McCaffrey and then Saquon Barkley in back-to-back years with different teams.
I mean, he even took a heavy set wide receiver. He likes big guys for defensive and offensive line, and he took a big wide receiver like Jalen Waddle.
I just think he would get Daniel Jones. I think he wants to get Daniel Jones some help, and I don't know that even a Rashawn Slater or a Christian Darrisaw makes sense if you have Nate Solder there to play right tackle this year. I'm just saying.
Cowboys. I mean, Giants fans would agree their sentiments about Nate Solder being the answer.
That's fine. I need Rashawn Slater to come off before 11. Okay, so we like the over 4.5 wide receivers there, and there's not a whole lot to bet on these wide receivers. Bet the under on Jalen Waddles, and
Chase's? Did we say that already?
Yes, it was 5.5 on William Hill. Now, if you can find a 6.5, take that under.
What's Devontae?
Devontae Smith also 11.5.
Ooh, so do you take them both, Waddle and Smith? Is that a good hedge or not?
No, both could happen, but
Yeah, I don't know the math on that.
Yeah, you would need, I mean, you don't want to take them both. That you don't want to take them both, I don't think. Okay. I will let you guys know about CBS Sports HQ. In fact, just remember that I'm on CBS Sports HQ on Monday afternoon. Very excited for it. I'm sure to be in a thrilling, if you're listening on Tuesday, tough luck. You didn't get to see it, but we talked. Oh, Clowney signing with the Browns will be our top target. People, podcast aficionados know how much I love talking about Jadeveon Clowney on CBS Sports HQ. It's your home. Start your sports news day with live updates. I saw Ryan Wilson on there at 8 o'clock this morning when I turned it on first thing to find out what the latest draft buzz was. Ryan Wilson yelling about Mac Jones. At 3, 8 p.m. Eastern, it kicks off. And HQ is always your home ahead of the evening's action with live picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world each day at 6 p.m. Eastern. As we get closer to the NFL draft, leave HQ on all day for the latest NFL news, rumors, and mock drafts ahead of round one on April 29th. Think of HQ as your ultimate NFL draft war room. So check out HQ on your computer or cbsports.com or via the CBS Sports app on your mobile phone or TV. It's always free. It's always on CBS Sports HQ.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
I got bumped from the 4 o'clock show. So thankfully I got bumped so you could do Jadeveon Clowney, which makes my day.
Well, I will say that, Scott Riley, our producer, sent me and Rob a text, and it's like, oh, no, you are on this. You're not bumped. It says you're on.
I don't think so.
No.
I'll double check, but I don't think I am. Anyway, what does Scott say?
No, he just said, can't wait for a great show with the best in the business. Talk about Jadeveon Clowney off the top.
Oh, that's funny.
I think I'm on this show. Or maybe he's joking with me. I don't know. Anywho, tight ends. Are any of the tight ends good outside of Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm nervous now. I want to double check that.
All right, here are your top five. Kyle Pitts, one. Pat Freiermuth out of Penn State, two. Tommy Trimble from Notre Dame, three. Hunter Long from Boston College, four. And Brevin Jordan from Miami, five. What a murderer's row of ACC tight ends.
Okay. I just texted Quinn to double check. All right. Yeah. So, Pat Freiermuth. So it's not Muth, it's Muth, which I found out during the season. He is, I don't know how much Penn State football team I watched this year. I think he was on and off. Oh, I am not on the show. Thank you. But, he's awesome. Like he is, here's the deal. Like he's not a great blocker, but again, you're not drafting these guys, except for Tommy Trimble, who actually is a really good blocker. You're not drafting these guys with top 50, top 60, top 75 picks to come in there and block if you're looking for a pass receiver. And that's what Freiermuth is. He played a lot in the slot. That offense at Penn State ran through him. And I'm trying to think, I had him going to the Jaguars in the second round in my 7-round mock draft. They have so many picks. Their second round pick, I haven't taken Freiermuth to help out Trevor Lawrence. But the thing is, I was talking to some folks in the league about Hunter Long, who, I have as my number four tight end out of Boston College. A lot of people like him and some people think he's not even that far behind Freiermuth in terms of his ability to be a sort of traditional Y tight end, if you will, inline guy. He's not insanely athletic, doesn't create a lot of separation, but he's sort of a reliable middle of the field target. And had a lot of production at BC, and I don't know where I had him going in the mock draft. I have to search his name, but I think I had him going late in round three, and he could end up going there, and he may end up going a little higher. Perhaps he goes early in round four. In between those two guys in my rankings, I have Tommy Trimble out of Notre Dame. Not a lot of production, but that's primarily because he blocks his ass off. Like, it's insane. He's incredibly athletic when you watch him play. He moves really well, but just wasn't a big part of that offense early on. Got some looks in 2020.
By the way, you had Pat Freiermuth going to the Jaguars at 45 overall and Hunter Long going to the 49ers at 102nd overall.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, so I think that's a comp pick, the 1 second
that,
one.
That was.
I like Hunter Long and George Kittle as the tight end. Presumably having Mac Jones throw him the ball. Now, that's something I can get behind, McCorkle. Tommy Trimble. I like, and I think he was on Pete's better than team, and he's going to get better. And he's one of those guys that can be better than the NFL. Just hadn't had a lot of production because he wasn't targeted very often, but already can block. And like, he's insanely good as a blocker, but he has the athleticism to be a good pass receiver as well. And then finally, Brevin Jordan, also really athletic, tight end out of Miami. Didn't block a lot, but again, these tight ends, you don't need them to block in most cases. The funny thing about Brevin Jordan was, like I said, athletic, good yak guy, not great contested catch situations, which is sort of a concern for a tight end, but there's a lot of things that he does really well. So, he could be a third round, fourth round guy, I feel like. After that, it's not incredibly deep at the tight end class. Let me see who else I have. I know you don't have him on this list, but just for completeness sake. Yeah, the next tight end I have is I have a fifth round grade on him is Kenny Yeboah out of Ole Miss, the Temple transfer. And then it starts to get a little thin depending on what you're looking for. So yeah, those are my top five tight ends as you have them there. And I suspect they will all be gone in the top 150 picks. It would not surprise
me. Ooh, all right. So it's just Kyle Pitts is turbo elite. And then the rest of the guys are pretty good and kind of interesting prospects. The over for tight ends in the first round is 1.5 and it's plus 360.
For the under?
For the over.
Over. Yeah. Oh yeah. What's the under?
Under is minus 475. It's unbettable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, you can bet it. It's just, you're not going to make very much on it.
Right.
There's no way to, no way.
No way.
Words that come up to haunt me.
Right.
Path, the 9-7 for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I got to tell you, I made an early mistake because I thought the number was too good. I always fall for this. I'm so stupid. It's like Davis Mills is going to get, is it Davis Mills? Davis Mills, right? He's going to get like, or Kyle Trask. Somebody's going to trade back into the first to get one of those guys. And every year we say that. And every year I take the over, the juiced up over on the quarterbacks. And every year it doesn't hit. Over but 5.5 quarterbacks is okay. Plus 350.
It only takes one. I would not. Here's the thing with Davis Mills. He started 11 games. I get the fifth year option. How'd the fifth year option work out for Mr. Trubisky and the Bears? That's my fallback on everything. Like it doesn't make sense.
Right. So, fifth year option at the bottom of the first round is a lot cheaper though. Fifth year option at the second overall is expensive.
I guess the Saints make some sense, but if I'm the Saints, I would rather have Kelamon. Kevin Kelamon's my guy.
I just think you can wait and I took it and I hate it. If I could cancel it, I would cancel it.
No, those guys are both, I have third round grades on both those guys. Those guys will probably both go in the second round.
McCorkle might fall to the second round.
That would be shocking. I don't think he falls this time.
I'm kidding. I don't think that happens. My point being is that I wish I could cancel that bet, and I would not mess around with the tight ends. With something like that is plus 350. I mean, you're locked for Kyle Pitts, but you need one.
Do you have the over-under on Kyle Pitts draft?
We do. It's actually, it is set at 5.5, and the under is minus 130.
That's a great number.
I think I love the under. The Bengals are not – Kyle Pitts is going to fall to the Dolphins at 6?
Well, if the Falcons trade down, comes up and gets a quarterback.
And then the Bengals take Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
And then you're out of whatever you
bet. I mean, I can see the Bengals taking Jamar Chase over Kyle Pitts, if only because it would make Joe Burrow very happy.
No, I get all that, but I mean, you're trying to win a bet.
No, I'm saying I don't think the Falcons are going to trade. And I think Kyle Pitts is going to be their pick at 4. And you have a little fallback option if they don't take him where the Bengals take him at 5. But I'm a little worried.
Let's do the math here. So let's say and this won't happen, but just for the sake of conversation. Let's say the Lions at 7 want to trade up because they want to get Justin Fields or whoever, McCorkle, it doesn't matter. And then the Falcons go from 4 to 7.
Yep.
So,
if I'm Atlanta and Detroit's coming for a quarterback, I do that in a heartbeat. I don't think Detroit wants a quarterback, but that's
I know. Four quarterbacks off the board, the first four picks. At 5, who are the Bengals taking? They're taking Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts?
I think they'll take Jamar Chase.
Okay. So then at 6, then the Dolphins are
dancing around taking
Kyle Pitts. But can they take Penei Sewell or no?
I think they'll take Kyle. I think they're taking a playmaker.
Yeah. So even if you have to love Kyle Pitts and the Falcons very well may. So you stay put because you can't even go to 7 and get Kyle Pitts. You can get Penei Sewell and get whatever the draft haul is for the trade.
Yeah, but they have Jake Matthews and they have
Lindstrom and they have
McGarry. I mean, they don't need a playmaker. I think the Falcons will move out of 4. For a future first round pick, but I don't think the Lions will give them a future first to go from 7 to 4.
No.
I don't think the Patriots would be willing to pay what it costs to get from 15 to 4. Broncos.
No, I mean, they may. It depends.
My point being is that I just think they're going to stay at 4 and take Kyle Pitts.
Do the Broncos at 9 have to give a first round pick to get up to 4? Is that enough distance?
I think so. Yeah. Because when you get down to 9, you're, you're sliding out of that range of those elite guys, unless you want to take a cornerback, which entirely possible.
They definitely need a cornerback. That could be a play. But again, I mean, here's the other thing. Is that extra first round pick offset the value that Kyle Pitts brings to your team immediately?
I mean, Kyle Pitts is freaking awesome.
Right. The answer is probably no.
Yeah. And by the way, I have 5.5 locally here too. Man.
Do you have the Freiermuth over under?
You know, I could probably find it on Circus Sports. Circus Sports put out.
Oh, I didn't know, because I know that William Hill goes deep on those things. Maybe we're not close enough for the draft, but I was going to guess.
I don't think William Hill has him up, but I know Circa listed him by position.
I would say 40, like 45, it seems.
45 for a.
That's where I had him going in the draft. I feel like that's around the range.
Tight ends.
I go under 45.
Tight ends for. Oh, did it use an alphabetical order? Killing me, guys.
F.
No? No. The tight end, alphabetical by position.
Oh.
Oh, I just missed it. Here it is. 42.5.
That's close. Like, I don't know which way to go in that. I think Kenny White's thing is always go over on these draft over-unders.
Cause they can fall.
Right. So, all right.
Cool. Trimble's over-under 85.5. Those are only three tight ends listed.
Yeah, that's a crapshoot. It just depends on which team likes them because of the lack of production. You don't
so know. They have Jamar Chase listed at -240. Whew. And under 6.5. God. That's when it gets to 240, what it's telling you, and look, these books are reacting mostly to the news and the rumors out there, but right. When it gets to 240, what they're telling you is, hey, look, we don't want you to bet this.
Hey, let me ask you this. So if you remember last year, draft only prop bets, did you make money or not?
I did because I had, I was talking about this earlier with somebody. I didn't do very well on my actual pick, like the over under picks.
Yeah.
But I had Andrew Thomas, first offensive lineman drafted at 5-1.
Golly, you took that. That's pretty ballsy.
I had it in my mock draft too. Maybe I'll do one this year. And, maybe Monday. Maybe I'll just whip one up.
You're going to do it Friday morning, the day after, 2 days after.
Yeah. 32 out of 32, baby. And then I also hit, and I got to give, I can't remember. Maybe it was at Vegas Refund on Twitter or the Deep Dive Pod with Andy and Drew. I can't remember where I got this one from, but it was Field, or maybe it's Dan Lifshitz. I can't, somebody on gambling Twitter hooked me up with this, but it was Field was 30-1 for first kicker taken.
Wait, what does that mean?
So there were like 10 names for first kicker taken.
Yeah.
And the field was just mispriced at 30-1.
So the 10 names, you would take anyone other than those 10 names?
Correct. And Roehauser was not one of the 10 names. I mean, like, that's a no-brainer for a kicker.
He was
like,
the first kicker taken?
Yeah. Remember the Patriots took him like the fifth round?
Yeah, no, he got in trouble after the tattoos thing.
Yeah. But he doesn't get in trouble if he's a seventh round pick because nobody cares.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Wow. I can't believe he hit on that one.
Yeah. So, I hit those two and those kind of offset the other bad picks. Last year was tough.
Oh, well, there you go. You still made money. That's good.
I feel pretty good about this year, mainly because I am.
This year feels tougher than last year, just based on what you've talked about to me. That's what the exposure.
Well, I have a bunch of, I guess you call it CLV, like closing line value on. Mm-hmm. Well, I have Justin Fields third overall pick at +250. And I have.
Yeah, you're sweating that one. Go ahead.
And I have Mac Jones over 3.5 at +200.
Sweating that one.
Oh, I have a hard sweat. And I have, Trey Lance third overall pick at 3-1. So, but here's the key. So like right now, if McCorkle is the third pick, I'm in the weeds.
You're in doo-doo.
Yeah. It's like I'm either up 20 units or down 20 units based on McCorkle going 3 overall. But the good news is Mac Jones now +175 to be the third overall pick. He was -303 on Thursday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's a wild shift. So there's a pretty good chance that if it continues to
shift. You're going to bet that too.
I'm going to hedge out a little bit on some Mac Jones. I want to get Mac Jones, Trey Lance and Justin Fields all at +250 or better to be the third overall pick. And then I'm just going to profit one way or the other. It's just how much am I going to profit?
Well, as we said, Mike Lombardi, the former GM, says no way Justin Fields at three, but that does leave him.
Maybe he means Justin Fields will go two.
Oh, that would be a huge hit for you. Yeah.
No, that would be bad. No, Fields at two is bad.
For you? You had under three.
No, I have third overall.
Oh. Not under three.
If it's Lawrence, Fields, McCorkle, I'm in the wind.
you're in the poorhouse.
Yeah.
Well, Chase Longenpour did write that, are we all convinced that Zach Wilson is the number two overall pick? I mean, we just sort of convinced ourselves of this, but yeah, there's been no sort of definitive word out of the Jets camp. So yeah.
Well, I that's what sort of I was bringing up for it. I mean, I get it, but like, what would be the point of smoke screening for the Jets? It's not like, it's like 2012. It's not like it's not like the Jaguars are going to take not Trevor Lawrence.
You hope not.
I would take Fields second overall if it were me.
Jacksonville Jaguars with the first overall pick take Trey Lawrence.
Nope, but I'm saying like, if you're the Jets, why would you pretend that you're in on Zach Wilson? I mean, just be all in on Zach Wilson.
We don't need to say anything.
No, don't have to say
anything. I don't know if you said this or someone else did. The NFL doesn't want all
the NFL. The Jaguars are taking Trevor Lawrence. They haven't announced it.
Right. That's the thing. So maybe they've been instructed to not say anything.
Correct. But JLC says he thinks that would be a pretty big swerve on draft night if they announced Justin Fields second overall.
Well, the NFL doesn't care. That makes it all the more exciting.
All right. That's it. That's the show. Ryan Wilson, as always, fun. We will talk later this week. Thanks, bud.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.